Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
The Sunny Show!
You're listening to the shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for Rage.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Orange Room.
More Like Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Brand new episode of Antisocial Gamer Radio coming to you live right now. Good week, I guess. Playing some stuff, haven't played some stuff, giving up on some stuff for a while. Yeah, it's been a bit of a week. I've seen trailers for The Evil Within, and I really want to play that. I've seen more trailers for Far Cry 4. So much stuff coming out over the next month. A month from now, I think we get Far Cry 4, and then a week after that, we get Assassin's Creed. Just so much stuff coming out at the moment, and stuff to come out in the future. It's very good to play games at the moment. I think I said last week, winter's drawing in, and it's literally get all your games in, sit indoors, and be antisocial like me. So welcome to the show. Usual, bit of banter on Tuesday nights. If you listen live, that is. And if you want to, you go to morelikeradio.com/live. 9 p.m. UK time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern. And the clocks change next Sunday, I believe. So I've got a week again, one more week at this time slot. I think then it changes, I believe. I'm not too sure. Let me check the times. I'll take care of that next week and have you all updated on every damn thing. Usual time, usual channel, usual place. But yeah, so if you want to listen live, I do go 9 o'clock UK time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern, if you're listening to the download. But I say, yeah, you can interact. We've got a couple of people in the chat room tonight, as you usually do. But I say, if you're not and you do want to interact with us, you can email the show. It's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. Also, if you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Also, you can like us on Facebook, the Facebook page for the show. It's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at MLRGamerRadio. Yeah, don't forget iTunes as well. I want to give a big welcome to Deep V, who started last week. Very good show. Very, very fun. I was laughing my arse off. Do apologise for any sort of misspeakings of me tonight. I was eating dinner and I burnt my mouth. And now it's all tingly. But yeah, so also welcome Two Fat Daleks, the new Doctor Who podcast, the only Doctor Who podcast on More Like Radio. This series of Doctor Who might be shit, but you listen to them, and it won't make the new Doctor Who series any shitter, any better. But they're very good to listen to. It's got Rorschach from It's All About Me, and Doc from Shy Kids Podcast. But yeah, it's a really good show. I mean, I listen to it. Even though the new series of Doctor Who is so shit, even though they think it's really good. But if they went back and watched last season, you'd see this season's pretty shit, to be honest. But yeah, I say playing some games this week, a bit of Pokemon. I sort of stopped that for now because I'm so bored of breeding. I'm tired of it. So I'm sort of literally putting it on the back burner for a while. So I'm just sort of reading through Metro 2033. I've picked that up again. I'm nearly 200 pages into it, because I stopped at about 150, so I've been 20 pages a day, sort of knocking it out. I still got about 250 more to go. Hopefully I'll have that finished by next week or the week after. But yeah, it's a really good book, and literally, I mean, where I am now, it totally differentiates from where the game went, with the characters. There's more characters in it that you didn't see in the game. But yeah, I mean, the game was loosely based on what happens in the book, but the book is really good and worth picking up. But yeah, I say other stuff. Destiny, taking all my time as usual. I have started a new clan for the official clan of More Like Radio. We're called the More Like Radio Guardians. Basically, just, you know, go on bungie.net, search it out, you know, send a request to join. I'm the leader of the clan, so basically I'll just sort of, you know, add you, and you know, make sure you do, when you do add yourself, and I add you, change your settings so that it does come up as your clan title. And that way we do let more people know about the station and the shows, and, you know, try and get More Like Radio out there even more. But yeah, I was going to say Destiny. Lots of stuff I've done with that last week. I maxed out my Crucible marks that I could get, which is a pain in the arse, because I think that on Saturday. Yeah, Saturday or Sunday. So I could get the Vanquisher 8, the auto rifle from, was it the new Monarchy? Yeah, I think it was the New Monarchy. Yeah, I picked that up. Very good gun. Bit better than what I had before. Just sort of upgrading stuff as I go now. I also got from Zur the Vendor, I got the Helm of Inmost Light, the exotic bit of armor. Very nice, literally, I think it's the best helmet I can get for my Titan character. I know Royce picked it up as well. But yeah, I say, just sort of messing around with that. I had a load of was it Motive Light coins, whatever the fuck they are. I had them, so I traded them in, and I got a helmet for the Hunter, which was absolutely no good to me whatsoever. So basically, sort of, you know, dismantled that, got all the little key components out of it, and now I'm pretty much sort of just, you know, trying to get as many motes of lights and strange coins, so that way I can get the exotic armor. But I mean, I am working on my main, you know, the main armor that I want. I mean, I've literally need to get another 65 now that it's Tuesday and all the bits and pieces have been reset. I'm trying to get, I think it's the gauntlets from the New Republic that do good for my auto rifle ammo or something. Sort of intelligence and strength, and makes it easier. And then there's like, I need to get my Crucible rank up to 2 so I can get the some chest piece. It's the Duran Sonic G or whatever it is. And that's pretty much my character maxed out, really. And then it's just leveling it all up. Getting the items I need to upgrade it. And then somewhere between doing that and that, getting the exotic armor, you know. And so there's not much. See, I'm sort of stuck at Destiny. I mean, I know exactly what I want to do and how I want to upgrade my character. It's basically just getting all the exotic armor eventually, and having at the moment the the fuck is it? The legendary armor that I can purchase. But yeah, it's a lot of fun playing Destiny. There's, you know, so much stuff to do in it, and it's just, it takes so much time, really. I mean, I'm doing sort of quests and bounties and just doing, you know, going to the free roaming bits on the planets and just sort of doing missions there to get items and trying to get more loot, you know, spirit blooms and spin metal and stuff like that. Just to, when I do need to upgrade the character, the armor, I do have that on hand. I mean, the hardest stuff to find is like the Ascendant Shards and the Ascendant Energy. And that's going to take a while because unless I find it from doing strikes, which I did a lot of strikes, actually. I'll cut into that in a sec. You know, I'm not going to find any of this stuff available about anywhere. So basically it's trying to get to enough, you know, marks and Vanguard marks and Crucible marks so I can buy any whatever piece of legendary armor and then dismantle it and basically get the shards or the energy from that. And that's pretty much the way it's going to go, I think. And if I do, you know, the Motes of Light have enough to get an exotic piece of armor, and it's not what I need, dismantle it, get even more bits and pieces, and, you know, that's me sorted. But yeah, so I've done loads of strikes. I think it was the Tiger one. It's like the one where you get like 6 Vanguard marks and a bunch of Crucible points and some bits and pieces and stuff like that. Yeah, just having fun with that. I mean, I'm at the high level. I'm like sort of a quarter of the way to through to 27. So I'm hoping that when I do get the you know, the gauntlet pieces and the chest piece that I do want and start upgrading that, I can, you know, upgrade, you know, dismantle the other pieces and then use that to upgrade the armor that I already have. I mean, my Helm of Innermost Light is nearly fully upgraded. That'll bang me up probably to about halfway through 27, and then all the other bits should get me up to 28, 29, and then it's just, you know, get to level 30 and then done with my character. And I mean, most of the other the factions that I've got, I mean, New Monarchy's up to level 3, was it Future Worlds, that's at 2, the ones in the black and white armor, I'm not even going to bother with that, I don't think, until I've done everything else. But I mean, like, my Vanguard rank is nearly at 2, and my Crucible rank is nearly at 1, so that's all got to go up to at least one more level. And then once that's done, it's pretty much I'll upgrade the Future World stuff and then do the final one, Dead Orbit or whatever that one is called. But yeah, I mean, I'm having lots of fun with it. It's still a fun game. It's just a pain in the ass that they limited the Crucible marks, but I know people would farm the shit out of it, and it would take, you know, the fun away from the game. But everyone's starting to get to level 30 now. I'm sort of looking at more characters. It's actually quite surprising. It's probably what it is. I'm seeing loads of characters, like new characters. I'm guessing that either people are just buying the game or they've maxed out to level 30 their other character, and now they just want to use it, use the armor and stuff onto, you know, different characters. You know, I mean, I'm playing a Titan. You know, I've still got the ability to do a Hunter class or a Warlock even. But yeah, I'm not in a hurry to do any of that at the moment, but I like where I am with my character. It's good. My character's pretty strong. You know, it's good. It really is. It's, you know, it's a lot of fun, you know, doing what I'm doing with my character. And, you know, come on Christmas time, we'll get the expansion, more missions, more strikes, just more and more, hopefully some story. And because, I mean, I'm waiting to see how this goes with this expansion and what they plan to do, but no real plans. You know, I'm not even sure how far I'll take the game. I mean, I'm trying to get most of the stuff that I can do done now before, you know, Assassin's Creed and Far Cry come out so that I can spend all my time playing those. I mean, I know I've literally got some holiday time at work to take off, so I think probably near the end of November I will take some time off then and, you know, knuckle down and play through those two games and get them done. But yeah, stuff coming out, stuff that I want to play, and just it's a really good time at the moment. You know, it's the usual winter autumn rush of games that basically we get every year, but, you know, we're always happy to see. No real topic this week because I couldn't really think of anything. I mean, I was thinking about the whole graphics stuff, but I mean, I've got a comment on that later that I'll read. But I did look through some of the I was going to say quizzes bits, not it's on those sort of top lists, you know. But yeah, I got this. I thought this was quite interesting. I got this from IGN. It was because, you know, I'm a big comic book guy, and Batman's one of my favourite ones. And I got this from IGN about a complete history of Batman video games. But they're going through some of the ones here and just looking at, I mean, some of these ones I've played. But I'll go through the usual bullshit. I'm just trying to work out where to start reading because it goes, you know, 75 years ago, Bob Kane and Bill Finger created a character that blah, blah, blah. It's all that bullshit, pomp and circumstance. But I'll carry on from this bit. It says, for almost 30 years now, fans have guided Bruce Wayne through various video games. Basically, leaping pits, tossing batarangs, putting the Batmobile, and taking the fight to the Joker. Here are some of the Cape Crusaders' most infamous digital games. And it's basically just about some of the games that, over the past 30 years, that we've been able to play as Batman in. And some of them pretty good. I mean, it started in 86 from the look of it. We've got, remarkably enough, Batman's first appearance in a video game never saw an American release, as European fans were treated to his exploits a full 2 years before their brethren across the pond would get a chance to play as the Dark Knight. Released for a variety of home computers across the European market, Batman is a 3D isometric game that saw the player attempting to rescue Robin by exploring the Batcave and trying to locate pieces to necessarily repair the Batmobile. Developed by Ocean, a company that's had enjoyed success with several other licensed video game titles, Batman was received favourably by gamers and the media, opening the door to countless titles to come featuring Pointier Vigilante, and by Ocean as well. This is an 88, this new one. It's I think most of them just called Batman, to be honest. Batman 88 was games in North America to finally get their mitts on Gotham's Vigilante with the release of Ocean's Batman the Cape Crusader. God, my mouth is so fucked up because of that burning. Cape Crusader featuring two of Batman's greatest foes, the Joker and the Penguin. Batman and Cape Crusader allowed players to explore two independent and different stories in whichever order they please. That sounds pretty cool. Batman 89, Cape Crusader's first appearance on home video game consoles, coincided with the first blockbuster summer movie playable on a slew of hardware. Most of the games released in 89 were at least loosely based on the Tim Burton film, though many of them introduced elements not seen in the movie, like many games developed at the time. Batman is a wholly different experience depending on which console version you played, as several publishers and developers created games independently of one another. Most fans look back fondly on the NES version of Batman, a side-scrolling brawler included wall jumping, a mechanic unique to the NES game. However, the Game Boy version of Batman, sometimes overlooked, also holds a special place in the memories of a nostalgic fan, with its emphasis on platforming action. I'm just trying to think, is that the one I play? I'm just sort of scrolling down the list. Oh yeah, I think that was the one from 89. Yeah, I think because I had it wasn't on the NES. I know I had one done by Ocean. I'm just trying to think. I know it wasn't that 86 one. Could have been the 88 one. I don't know. But I know I had a Batman game on. I don't think it was the Atari. I think it was the Commodore 64. I think some old piece of crap my old man found and basically brought it home. I think I played it. Yeah, some Batman game on that. But for 91, we have. Scrolling down too far. We have Batman: Return of the Joker, a series of adventures developed by Sunsoft, the creators of the NES version of Batman from 89. Batman: Return of the Joker was a platform shoot 'em up, heavily influenced by Mega Man. The Game Boy version of Batman: Return of the Joker, however, retained its focus on platforming. The Sega Genesis version featured a title change known as Batman: Revenge of the Joker. Revenge of the Joker. 92 was Batman Returns because the movie was out. I've never got to play this, mainly because back then I didn't have anything to play on. A grand total of 8 wholly unique versions of Batman's Returns were created to accompany the sequel to Tim Burton's Batman film, some of which could not have been more different. The Super Nintendo version of Batman Returns sold the most units, with side-scrolling beat-em-up action reminiscent of Capcom's Final Fight games, which are awesome. Interestingly enough, the DOS version, DOS version, of Batman Returns, developed by Konami, was a point-and-click style adventure, the only time Batman has appeared in this type of game. Which, to be honest, is good, really, because in this day and age, you don't really need any sort of Batman-style point-and-click, whereas, I'm going to think about The Walking Dead. That was awesome. The Adventures of Batman Robin from 1994, based on the animated series, focuses exploits on Batman and Robin, from the critical acclaimed favourite Batman animated series cartoon, once again, stark differences rose between the Super Nintendo version and the Sega Genesis games, as the former was a traditional action-adventure platform, while the latter was more action-focused side-scrolling shooter. Batman Forever from 1995, which I really wanted to play. I mean, I remember watching Batman Forever on the video, and it would have the trailer for the game, and I was like, wow, that looks really good. Just from what I've heard, it was pretty shit, but it looked really fun to play. Games were treated to a slew of releases based on the Batman's movie exploits as Val Kilmer. As Batman Forever hit the screen in 1995. Wow, nearly 20 years. Batman Forever also continued the tradition of being different from console to console, with Sega Genesis version containing beat-em-up action built in the Mortal Kombat engine. Cool. Infusing an experience that felt similar to a fighting game. At times, Batman Forever's use of actors digitalized as game sprites also held similarities to Mortal Kombat. Of course. 1995, you got Justice League Task Force, which I don't... attracted a bit of cult following over the years. Batman Justice League Task Force was a 2D fighting game in the style of Street Fighter 2, and from this screenshot, definitely I can agree. Co-developed by Sunsoft and Blizzard. Released the height of the Street Fighter 2's popularity, Justice League Task Force presented a full roster of DC superheroes and villains, including Batman, but its clunky controls couldn't evaluate it to the same heights as the game it tried to emulate. Yeah, so basically it was no Street Fighter 2. Batman Beyond Return of the Joker, which, great movie. Ubisoft created Batman Beyond Return of the Joker as a companion to the Warner Brothers direct-to-video animated series, animated film of the same name. Batman Beyond was an animated series taking place in the future. For those who don't know, Batman Beyond was basically old Bruce Wayne. Terry McGinnis was the new Batman. Look it up, watch it. It's an amazing series. It's like three seasons. I'd skip the last episode that you come to because that is shit. But except for the epilogue one, which you can see in the Justice League Unlimited cartoon. But yeah, really good show, really good movie. And I was actually wearing the black shirt with a red Batman logo this very day, earlier before I had a shower. Back in 2003, we got Batman Dark Tomorrow, which I heard was actually good. While most Batman games were licensed movie adaptations or were tied in with the television show, Batman Dark Tomorrow had an original story written specifically for the game and focused on plot elements and characters from the comic book. Originally teased as an open-world style game in the vein of Activision's successful adaptation of Spider-Man 2, Batman Dark Tomorrow would go on to be one of the worst-received games of all time, occurring terrible reviews in the media and getting panned by gamers. Yeah, I mean, I was interested in it. Because, I mean, there was loads of press about this. I mean, we're going back to 10 years now. But there was so much, saying how good this game was. It was on the back of comics and every damn thing. But, yeah, it looked interesting. Even though it's panned, I would have loved to have played it. This is something I did play. This is from 2003. Batman Rise of the Senzu was a game set in the Batman animated universe that introduced Senzu, a character designed by legendary comic illustrator... Image Wildstorm Comics founder Jim Lee. Sinzu's origin was seen as being similar to that of Harley Quinn, another character who had first gained prominence in the animated series. However, fan reaction to Sinzu was apathetic, causing Rise of Sinzu to be the character's only appearance as a foe. Yes, basically. I watched the documentary that was on the game about this character. It's like, yeah, this character was just created for this game, and you haven't seen him anywhere since, basically. But yeah, I mean, it was a fun game. It was just sort of Final Fight, Fighting Force style. It was literally, there was four characters. There was, Batman, Nightwing, Robin, and Batgirl. And basically, Batman and Nightwing fought exactly the same. It was literally just a skin swap. And Batgirl and Robin fought exactly the same as well. So you could be whoever you wanted to be. And fight however you want. It was okay. It wasn't the best game in the world. I mean, I didn't I cheat my way through it, to be honest. But yeah, it was fun. It was enjoyable. And, you know, it was basically, you know, it was what it was. And it was okay. I enjoyed it. I mean, trust it had Kevin Conroy voice in it. It's a brand new villain. It was good. I enjoyed it. Back in 2005, wow, this is nearly 10 years old as well now, Batman Begins, which I had, and I loved it. It was a great game. It wasn't the best, but it was really fun, and, you know, it was good. Released on the day before the Christopher Nolan film, Batman Begins was very closely follows the plot of the movie, incorporating over 20 sequences of full motion video taken directly from the feature film. Batman Begins features stealth gameplay, sequencing reminiscent of Splinter Cell and Metal Gear Solid. Yeah, it was very, very good. I enjoyed it. I mean, especially the car chase scene. Really cool. But very hard as well. I literally failed it so many damn times. Back in 2008, we got Lego Batman. Released the time when the Batman portrayed in comics and movies was a darker, more violent take on a character. Lego Batman bridged the gap between the Caped Crusader and his younger fans by allowing players of all ages the chance to control a block-ish Dark Knight as he busted bricks in Lego Gotham City, the third license to receive the Lego treatment from developer Traveller's Tales, following the wake of Lego Star Wars and Lego Indiana Jones. Lego Batman would go on to spawn a sequel following featuring Batman and countless other members of the DC Universe. And as people know, we are on the verge of Lego Batman 3, which is stuff I've got to talk about in a second. I've got more stuff to talk about after this of Batman, and, you know, it's a bit of a slimmy Batman focused show, but, you know, Batman's cool. Back in 2008, Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. I didn't play it as much as I wanted to, but I mean, I heard so much bad stuff about this, I sort of skipped it, to be honest. Warner Brothers has owned DC since 1969, and in 2009 would go on to purchase Midway Games, the company responsible for the infamous fighting game franchise Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat vs. DC Universe was the last game Midway created before declaring bankruptcy and being purchased by Warner Brothers, making it a fitting end to the studio's long and storied run. Beginning life as a tentative Mortal Kombat sequel, plans are scrapped during development, and the game took on a more new direction as a crossover fighter pitting characters from the Mortal Kombat universe against heroes from and villains from the worlds of DC Comics. The basic premise was to create a counterpart to Capcom's Marvel vs. Capcom series. You know, it was what it was. I mean, I wasn't too fussed with it, to be honest, but it was okay from what I heard, but I just never got a chance to play it. And some people said it was shit, some people said it was good. It was a mixed bag. 2009, Batman Arkham Asylum, which is an awesome game. Here we go. This is a big topic on this one. Though many of his earlier video games were well received by the public, and I'll look back on fondly with games today, by the mid-90s and the early years of the new millennium, Batman games had developed a reputation of being uninspired licensed properties, less concerned with delivering a fun experience and more focused on profiting on a movie or television program. Despite the fact that the character was enjoyed a resurgence in the popularity of the Chris Nolan film reboot, Batman Begins, the Dark Knight video game. Video games were still a disappointing affair. Then relatively unknown developer Rocksteady Games surprised the public when it released its new game, Batman Arkham Asylum, set to take place in an alternate DC Comics continuity, there we go, which some fans now refer to as the Arkhamverse. I have never heard anyone say that before in my life, so I'm guessing it's a small number of fans who live in their basement. Batman Arkham Asylum has Bruce Wayne fighting his way through the grounds of legendary locale Arkham Asylum in an attempt to foil a plot by the Joker, incorporating stealth elements and visceral hand-to-hand combat, a full range of gadgets and weapons, and plenty of fan service. It's going to say what I'm going to say anyway. Batman Arkham Asylum wowed fans and critics alike, levering the challenges of Sir Kevin Conroy and Sir Mark Hamill, the actors responsible for voicing Batman and Joker in the fan-revered animated series. Rocksteady succeeded in creating a new world with their own unique and engaging take on the character of Batman. But yes, so say it's just top many list of 2009, and, you know, next year we are getting the final Rocksteady game, which I can't wait. It's going to be really good. And we're going to have Kevin Conroy back as Batman. That's always cool. Here we go. Yeah, DC Universe Online, which I haven't played, even though it's free to play. Sony Online Entertainment, veterans MMORPG developers and designers, designers and publishers of genre staple EverQuest, brought Batman into a massive multiplayer space for the first time with DC Universe Online. Players did not play as Batman, but rather interacted with the Dark Knight and other DC heroes in a battle against the all-consuming force of Brainiac. Yeah, I wonder if there's still people playing this. I really don't know. I mean, it's been out for 3 years, and I know it's free to play, but I don't really know if anyone's talking about this at all, to be honest. But yeah, back in... Oh, excuse me, I just scrolled past the date. 2011, we get Batman Arkham City. Rocksteady's sequel to Batman Arkham Asylum saw the action spilling out of the asylum and into the streets of Gotham itself. After the mayor of Gotham City quarantines a huge section of the heart of Gotham in order to contain its more violent prisoners, creating one massive prison complex on the streets, city streets itself, Batman must fight his way through an open world and take out as many of his longtime foes in order to once again combat the Joker. Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy return to reprise their roles, with Batman Arkham City being the final time Mark Hamill would fill the purple shoes of Batman's arch nemesis. Which, to be honest, it's kind of sad that, because he said his voice was hurting. But I watched the Defenders of Burke, Riders of Burke, the How to Train Your Dragon TV series, and pretty much the character that Mark Hamill plays in that, I can't remember what the character's name is off the top of my head, is pretty much the same character, really. Pretty much the same voice. So, just probably just tired of playing the Joker for like 20 odd years, which is understandable, to be honest. From back in 2013, we got Injustice Gods Among Us, a game I played and loved very much. After being purchased by Warner Brothers, the group within Midway responsible for the Mortal Kombat franchise was spun out to be and rebranded as NetherRealm Games. Their first big project was Mortal Kombat, the eighth game in the series, on the heel of that success. NetherRealm brought their follow-up Injustice Gods Among Us. Yeah, really good. Spiritual successor to Mortal Kombat vs. DC Universe, Injustice once again saw the DC heroes doing battle in a fighting game, though this time they were the sole focus. Using Mortal Kombat engine and some tweaks to the mechanics, NetherRealm brought Batman and his allies and his enemies to life in a hyper-violent tournament. Tournament fighter that made its way to the biggest franchise fighting game tournament of the year. It's such a good game. Batman, Nightwing, Batgirl, Joker, Harley Quinn, Catwoman, Solomon Grundy, and Bane are all playable characters in Injustice Ensemble cast, with Batman serving as the game's single player mode's primary protagonist. Yeah, because it's all about Batman, as it usually is. This came out last year. Batman Arkham Asylum, Arkham Origins, which I played, and it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. Following Batman Arkham City was the first Arkhamverse game not to be developed by Rocksteady Games. Batman Arkham Origins, a prequel to the Arkham Asylum, basically tells the tale of Dark Knight's first encounters with the Joker and many of Batman's other iconic villains continuity of the Arkham games. Batman Arkham Origins was the first Batman game to feature a dedicated multiplayer, where players duked it out in control of various gangs, representing factions allied with Batman's adversaries, which there was a multiplayer. I just played the single player. Batman had endured in the hearts and minds of his fans and pages of comics for more 45 years from now. Yep, 75 years, Batman, blah, 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 all that bullshit. But yeah, I mean, we're getting, Lego Batman 2, Lego Batman 3 Beyond Gotham is soon, I think. I'm not that fussed about getting it. I want to get it, but I'm not that fussed. But I am really concerned about getting Batman Arkham Knight, which comes out next year. I think it's next June. So I've got a bit of a wait, but the game's going to be awesome, and I can't wait. But I mean, yeah. Look at all the stuff that I found about Batman, because it's 75 years. If I can find out where I was after, I literally I have something. Oh, here we go. Yes, Yeah, here we go. Yeah, this is from Games Radar. It's the 8 video game characters who wish they were Batman. I'll just read this little bit here. Yep, perhaps you've got a huge trust fund and nothing to spend it on, or you spent your entire life honing your fighting skills, just waiting to use them on some punk who looks at you funny. Maybe your game just straight up rips off every one of Batman's signature moves, so of course you think you can stand toe-to-toe with Dark Knight. Yes, basically, it's just more pandering and bullshit. But yeah, here we go. Aiden Pierce from Watch Dogs. Chicago is one of the most Gotham-like cities in real life, America. Basically, because it's where Chris Nolan filmed The Dark Knight. But the hero it gets in Watch Dogs is definitely not the hero it deserves. Funny. Aiden Pierce has got the tragic past, the brooding demeanor, and everyone refers to him as the vigilante. But he's a wannabe of the highest order. Well, yeah, I mean, just, I agree, because I mean, I've said this when I was on the show before when I was playing Watch Dogs. Even when he's riding the bike, it's like it's like Batman on the Batpod, really. With his coat flapping around. I mean, look at him. It's like he's cosplaying as a walking L.L. Bean catalogue, and he spends most of his time with his head buried in his smartphone. At least he's got some decent apps on there, letting him hack the city's technological infrastructure at will. As for the moral compass, it's completely out of whack. One minute he'll beat up a bunch of thugs for human trafficking. The next thing he'll be siphoning an old grandmother's pension so that he could buy a new coat. Not exactly the kind of guy you'd make a massive toy line for. I don't know. I mean, just the coach shit was bought, but it was a waste of time anyway. Even though, yes, I did buy all the coats because I have money and nothing else to do with it. Talion from Middle Earth Shadow of Mortal, which has just come out now. Talion just lost everyone he knows and loves, along with his own life, and has teamed up with a wraith to slay every single orc and uruk in Mordor. And to do it, you'll be copying Batman pretty much every step of the way, which I've heard a lot about. You know, people saying it's very Batman, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City sort of based, traversing and how the character plays, that sort of stuff. Except for the part where you rigorously slaughter orcs for fun, that is. From attacking to countering, Talion fights alongside almost exactly like Batman does in the Arkham games. Even his daggers are essentially just like chucking batarangs at your foes. Sure, Talion might be a bit more overly brutal than Batman. It's basically just saying how much this sort of copy, but yeah, I've heard that so much about this game, but I do want to play it. It's just, I've got other stuff coming that I do want to play. What have we got here? This is Wei Shen from Sleeping Dogs. As an undercover cop, Wei Shen is no stranger to the double life, but instead of wearing a cowl and a giant rubber suit, Wei does his best impersonation of himself, folding back into his old life in Hong Kong with his old gangster friends. Occasionally that means roughing up a fall or two, and of course that means fighting exactly like Batman. Batman must have opened up a chain of martial arts schools across the world because Wei's combat style is eerily familiar. Surrounded by foes, Wei performs a ballet of jabs, roundhouse kicks, making sure to counter incoming attacks, complete with a handy button prompting over the head. Oh wow, handy button prompt over the attack. What? Yeah, so basically, your Batman spider sense stuff comes into effect. Batman doesn't skewer his opponents on meat hooks, though. Wei's a bit of a loose cannon, while Batman is far more calculated, precise in his actions. Plus, it's a little bit overkill. Oh, no shit. What's the next one? Let's have a look. We have Ezio Auditore from Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood and Revelations and Matrix Reloaded and a bunch of other shit. Yes, it's uncanny how Ezio's life is to Bruce Wayne's, a young wealthy aristocrat whose family is killed off. While making his way to a wealthy estate where he trains in combat forces, trains the forces of evil lurking around every corner while wearing a concealing cloak covered in gadgets. Yeah, pretty much it's quite actually very Batman-ish, to be honest. I never really thought about that, to be honest. Substitute batarangs for stabbings, and essentially you've got Batman in Renaissance Italy. Also, Leonardo da Vinci is essentially Alfred. He's an old family friend that oversees your various inventions, though he has a larger hand in actually making them. He's constantly at your side, bouncing ideas off you and providing advice. All that Mona Lisa and Vitruvian Man stuff. Warm mere side jobs to his real one, helping out Ezio stab jerks in the face. What else? Who's next? Let's have a look. Oh, it's Cole from... Cole McGrath from Infamous. Cole McGrath shares a lot more with the Cape Crusader than simply talking like he's been swallowing finely ground gravel. I wouldn't know. I played Infamous. I don't have it anymore because I deleted my profile. You know the story. He's got the tragic backstory. He's a bike messenger turned conduit after being mostly responsible for a massive explosion that wiped out half a city. He has a sense of vigilante justice. Only a person who's read too many comic books could muster. And his acrobatics have been honed by years of urban exploration. He also spends too much time getting played. Spoiler alert, Cole was tricked by his future self into becoming the ultimate weapon, from opening the package that would grant him his powers to being forced to choose who to save, in a sequence almost ripped directly from The Dark Knight. Cole plays into Kessler's hands, aka Future Cult, which no idea what was going on, because now I do, because I didn't play Infamous 1 or 2, I just started with Second Son. Hands at the very every moment. Sure, Batman has his naive moments, especially where the Joker is concerned, but I'd like to think that he could have seen through his time travel mumbo jumbo from the start. I mean, just you think you would have done something better, you know, with your life if you had time travel powers and stuff. Commander Shepard, apparently. Which is okay. I'll read this and then we'll make judgments. Commander Shepard is basically Space Batman. Don't believe me. He or she has a cunning technical mind, attempted to do the right by various denizens of the galaxy, though he tends to do most of it with the laser weapons than his fists. Also, two out of the three possibles have backstories involve some kind of tragedy, both which leave Shepard orphaned from a large chunk of his childhood. You sound familiar? Yeah, okay. He's also a bit of a renegade, both with a lowercase and capital R, even when he's trying to be as saintly as possible, much to the galactic law's enforcement's dismay. Still, he has his own sense of justice, even if that requires the end to justify the means. And he's not afraid to punch someone in the jaw if they get out of line. I remember that. Was it Conrad? I can't remember the blonde guy at the bar. And, you know, being Shepard, he sort of does the Bruce Wayne thing and shags his way across the galaxy. Here we go. We've got Garrett from Thief. Perched up on an outcropping, he drops down on top of his unsuspecting foe, knocking him out in one hit. He sneaks through the shadows, quietly leaving a mass of unconscious bodies in his wake. Sounds like Batman, right? Nope. It's Garrett making his way towards a collection of precious jewels right for the taking. Well, he's more like Catwoman then. Garrett was an orphan, just like Batman, who was raised on the streets and taught at a young age that the ruling government is almost as corrupt as the gangs that control the city. As such, he has a strong sense of personal justice and morals, even though he's a thief, going so far as to avoid killing the guards. He's sneaking around, as long as you don't bungle things up while you're looking while you're playing. He spends most of his time skulking in the shadows, stealthily knocking out guards, and is armed to the gills with various magical gadgets, arrows. Because of this, he is essentially the Batman of this fantasy world meets Elizabethan England infected by the plague. That doesn't make sense. They've got here Robin from Batman Arkham City. Now, don't get me wrong, I actually like Robin, but from his first appearance in the comics to the Adam West TV series, which no one should talk about because that was a pile of shit, to his run as Nightwing, Robin has always been lived in the Cape in the shadow of the Cape Crusader, which is why he's Nightwing now, because he got bored of being Robin. And nowhere in this second string status more obvious than in the Batman Arkham City, which, to be honest, I think Yeah, I mean, Batman Arkham City, that was Tim Drake as Robin, not Dick Grayson. Because Dick Grayson was already Nightwing because there was DLC for it where you played as played as Nightwing. So this article is a little wrong. I mean, look at him. He's trying so hard to be like Batman. What with the leather suit, badass demeanor, but everything about Robin, from the mask to the buzz cut to the giant metal pole, screams, "Please take me seriously, Batman." But the best part is when Batman waves him off when he shows up, as if Robin were a child asking questions about a movie that's already halfway through. "Don't worry, Robin. I'm sure your appearance in Arkham Knight will be totally not related to the DLC challenge maps." But yeah, I mean, but it wasn't Dick Grayson, it was Tim Drake. Who is Robin now, I believe. I don't know. I haven't read comics in years. Where was that? I'm just trying to find this thing about Lego Batman that I found. One second. But yeah, I mean, I you know, actually a good article that was, but the guy who ever wrote this was a fucking idiot. It really was. Where's that? How the hell is that? Oh, here we go. Yeah, this is what I got from was it Game Informer? We're getting some DLC for what do you call it, for Lego Batman 3 Beyond Gotham. Yes, during a panel today, this is from about 3 days ago at the New York Comic Con. During a panel today in the New York Comic Con, Traveler's Tales had a huge collection of reveals for the upcoming Lego Batman 3. Conan O'Brien will be appearing in the game and will apparently serve as a guide of sorts for the game. Why? I do not know. I mean, we don't get Conan's show over here. So basically, he's not a big guy over here. And just no one give a shit who he is anyway. You also get to play, there's like an Arrow pack where you get to play as Oliver Queen, you know, Arrow, which is cool. And they've got... yeah, I'll read the bit first and I'll go through all the characters. He says, yeah, DLC pack has also been announced for the based on the TV show Arrow, along with featuring characters from the show, an exclusive level and vehicles. Yes, and Oliver Queen, Green Arrow, will be voiced by Stephen Amell, who plays, plays Oliver Queen in the show. And I watched a trailer of like him doing the voice stuff. It's actually really cool. But yeah, and they've got Diggle, Felicity Smoke, Helena Bertinelli, you know, Huntress, Slade Wilson, Roy Harper, Sarah Lance, Black Canary, and Malcolm Merlyn. That's pretty cool, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's something worth picking up, definitely. But they've got, yeah, DC Comics Chief Creative Officer Geoff Johns in the Green Lantern, there's pictures here of... yeah, basically Jim Lee and Geoff Johns are in the show, in the game as well. Sorry, I'm just reading what this is. Lee apparently throws pencils as enemies at his attack. So basically they throw pencils. Also, you've got Duck Dodgers as Green Lantern. Let's look at the other characters we're getting. There's so many different characters in this. It's amazing. You've got Detective Chimp, Mad Hatter, who was in it anyway, Deadshot, I think it's his first outing, Deathstroke, Calibac, Polka Dot Man, and Music Meister, all characters in it. Find even more reveals from the panel before including Darkest Knight, Condiment King, Man-Bat, and the Solar Suit Superman, which is pretty cool because the Solar Suit Superman was when he died. But yeah, Darkest Knight Batman looks pretty cool. Condiment King, who from, was it the movie? I think it was. But you got Man-Bat as well, which is cool, and Solar Suit Superman. It's just so much stuff going on with this new Lego game, and it looks really fun with all different characters in it. I've only got like 10 minutes before I go to break. I'm trying to find something else to fill the time for a second. Okie dokie, let's have a look. I know I've got a whole bunch of Destiny stuff to talk about, but that can wait until after. But yeah, I'll go into this quickly because the Assassin's Creed frame rate stuff that people are moaning about. But yes, there's a white this from IGN. White Assassin's Creed Unity runs at 30 frames per second. Yeah, basically say it's because it feels more cinematic, and 60 frames per second is too difficult to accomplish, according to two of the game's developers. Nicholas Gurin, the world's level design director on Assassin's Creed Unity, told TechRadar that 60 frames per second was a prior goal for the open world game, but the target wasn't a good fit. At Ubisoft for a long time, we wanted to push 30 frames per second. He says, I don't think it was a good idea because you don't gain that much from 60 frames per second, and it doesn't look like the real thing. It's a bit like the Hobbit movie. It looked weird. Yeah, I agree. Some of it did actually look weird, but they're sort of using some of the old tech, it seems, from back when they did Lord of the Rings. So I think collectively in the video game industry, we're dropping that standard because it's too hard to achieve. Yeah, I agree. I'm not that fussed about the frame rate as such, as long as it looks nice, you know. It's twice as hard as 30 frames per second, and it's not really the great in terms of rendering quality of the picture and the image. Creative director Alex Amirko backed up Gurin, saying 30 frames per second feels more cinematic, and it is a great fit with action adventure titles. And it actually feels better for people when it's at 30 frames per second. It also lets you push the limits of everything to the maximum. Yeah, I mean, good graphics are great, but the whole frame rate stuff, I mean, I'm perfectly happy with 30 frames per second. Because, you know, it's a second. You know, you blink and you miss it. And you blink and you miss it. You miss 60 frames, 30 frames. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Ubisoft saw backlash earlier this week when senior producer Vincent Pontchartrand revealed that Assassin's Creed Unity will run at 90p and 30 frames per second on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, to avoid all the debates and stuff. Ubisoft later clarified that the locked resolution of the frame rate on both consoles weren't made to accompany to account for any one system. But yeah, I mean, I'm not that fussed. People are making a big deal over this shit, and I'm like, I don't care. Just give me the fucking game. I mean, I have been seeing stuff about Assassin's Creed Rogue. That looks really good. I mean, I'm not going to pick it up just yet. I mean, I'll probably pick it up on my PlayStation 3, to be honest. But it does. I mean, a trailer I posted in the old the Facebook page does look really good. I'm looking forward to playing it eventually, once it, you know, goes down in price and becomes a bit cheaper and stuff. But yeah, it does look really, really good. But yeah, let's find something else because I've still got a few more minutes to go. Let's have a look. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, this is more on the resolution stuff. Ubisoft would not limit a game's resolution. This is from CVG. Company aims to set the record straight on Assassin's Creed Unity. Let's be clear. This is a quote. Ubisoft does not constrain its games. And that's the message in a new Ubisoft blog designed to set the record straight on Assassin's Creed Unity, which is locked at 90p and 30 frames per second. Oh, excuse me. The blog was later written to clarify comments made by Assassin's Creed Unity senior producer Vincent Pontchartrand earlier this week, which implied the game's technical specifications had been lowered to offer the same experience on both Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Something Ubisoft subsequently denied. Since we've spent 4 years building the best game we could imagine, Pontchartrand said, why would we ever do anything to hold it back? I simply chose the wrong words when talking about the game's resolution, and for that I'm sorry. We know a lot of gamers consider 1080p with 30 frames per second to be the gold standard, especially on the new generation of consoles. He adds, but when we made the right decision to focus our resources on developing the best gameplay experience, and resolution is just one factor. There is a real cost to all those NPCs, all the details in the city, to all the systems working together, and to the seamless co-op gameplay. We want to do compromising when it comes to the overall gameplay experience. Those additional pixels could only come at a cost to the gameplay. Which I agree. You know, I mean, but it's like Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag ran at 90p and 30 frames per second when it launched last year. However, a post-launch update bumped the PlayStation 4's version's resolution up to 1080p. Yeah. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. As long as you're enjoying what you're playing, that should be the main focus. I mean, yes, the graphics are nice. I mean, Josh, would you actually... I mean, looking at what I was looking at all those Batman games, do you want to go back to the 1980s with the graphics they had? No, you don't. You enjoy what you got for the moment. It's been, you know, it's been 30 years since you had graphics this good. You know, the graphics have come a long way in 30 years, and people are still not happy? Doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. But yeah, Assassin's Creed Unity's release on November 11th. In North America, and November 13th in Europe, and 14th in the UK, which is good for me because that's when I plan to take some week off work. But yeah, let's have a look. What else have we got? I've got a couple of minutes left before I have to take a break. Where was it? Here we go. Yeah, talk about resolution and rendering and stuff. Here we go. Some stuff from CVG. Dragon Age Inquisition renders at 1080p on PlayStation 4 and 90p on Xbox One. It says, we maximised the current potential of each platform, says BioWare. BioWare has confirmed that the PlayStation 4 version of Dragon Age Inquisition will natively render at a higher resolution than the Xbox One version. The studio announced that the news on its Twitter account stating that confirmed Dragon Age Inquisition, blah, blah, basically all the bullshit I've just read here. This is, yeah, it pretty much just covers what I say, same shit I just said. But I'll read this more in the article. The news follows a recent debate surrounding Ubisoft's decision to limit Assassin's Creed Unity to 90p at 30 frames per second on both formats. The move was originally explained as an attempt to avoid debates, but this was later denied by Ubisoft. In late September, the studio working on Lords of the Fallen also confirmed that the PlayStation 4 version would be rendered at 1080p compared to the Xbox One's 90p. Xbox boss Phil Spencer has argued that the frame rate is significantly more important than the resolution. In July, EA delayed the Dragon Age Inquisition release date by more than a month. A third entry in the RPG series is now scheduled to launch on PC, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 in North America on November 18th and in Europe on the 21st. And I can't wait. This game's going to be really good. I mean, it's not on my main list at the moment because I've got other stuff to play. Two games to play in that span that basically we're getting Assassin's Creed and Far Cry 4. But it will be once I have finished with that. But yeah, I say, you know, I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be really good. A whole bunch of stuff happening with this and I can't wait. But I'm going to take a little break now because I need a rest and a drink. But yes, I will be back in about 10 minutes or so after these messages. I have a whole bunch of Disney stuff to talk about and a whole bunch of everything else to talk about as well. And I will be back in a second. Speak to you then. Bye.
That combination of
and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
More like radio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickens said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric, what do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down
it
there?
It was now? Monsignor Hendrix who did it.
Wow.
I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton goes apeshit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes apeshit in church, and now there's a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
That's what we'll go with, Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
Conti and Kenny Show, Monday nights, 7 to 10, on morelikeradio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke.
Yeah, we can't sell Betsy's milk to no one. Absolutely no one.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
I got pain. It's all I have. Yo, I got pain.
I almost said I got pain.
I'ma smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra-violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high-stakes, high-flying, and hard-hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra-violent underground.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the trunk say?
On your fuck. Oof. Ah!
What the trunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't understand what
What does the trunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay. Oh, let me, excuse me.
What the trunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the trunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh.
Oh, man. Oh, bro.
Kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh. Come on, everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go Home Depot. Come on. Fess up, Raymond. You know it was you that got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here.
Oh, man. I'm dying.
So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever. It's still news. So fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, are you absolute garbage? Let me guess. An alcoholic? A drug addict? When was the last time you were even out of your house? Well, why don't you join us for the Red Show? We're all about personal betterment and self-esteem.
I want to do, maybe like City Meets the Swamp, something. Something.
I hope it ends up with the fucking city getting eaten by a goddamn alligator.
Ambassadors of Peace, at any income level.
That's what we do here. We're all about olive branches.
No, you're a fucking white trash asshole. You're about Olive fucking Garden, okay?
One thing we don't forget is how important our fans are.
Is there anything more you want to say about any of these cocksuckers that are listening?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And we recognize the struggles and hardships of our friends.
We don't give a fuck. I hope you relapsed. Burn in hell, bull.
Oh, my God. What are you
I meant
doing?
I love you, bro. Get better.
So come join us live Wednesday nights and experience functional substance abuse on The Red Show. Only on More Like Radio.
You're doing some things with Enya, correct?
I hope you end your life. Now get off the microphone while I talk to my pal.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Hey guys, check out my sweet Chim Pokemon doll.
Please, Chim Pokemon dolls are so last week.
What? Yeah, dude, don't you know? It's all about the Chim Pokemon video game now. Did you bring your special Chim Pokemon game controller? Huh? No.
Oh, you didn't get a special Chim Pokemon game controller. Jesus Christ.
Team Pokemon, what is primary objective?
To destroy the evil power.
I've got to buy all the Chim Pokemon so I can destroy the evil power.
Damn it.
I've got to buy them all. So first I better go to Hawaii and visit Pearl Harbor.
Try to bum the haba. Ready?
Go. I must buy them all.
We must buy them all.
Try to bum the haba.
So the video game gave Kenny a seizure. This game rules.
And welcome back to part two of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. I forgot to mention when I first started the show that hopefully this weekend I will be a special guest on my friend Bill's show called Partial Nerdity. So you can follow him on Twitter, it's partial_nerdity. It's basically sort of a QI, Whose Line Is It Anyway, sort of quiz show. He said his second episode, and they're all on iTunes, so go and look up Partial Nerdity. It's a very good show, it really is. He's done two shows so far. Hopefully I'm trying to sort of get myself onto the third episode. Just been eating some sweets. So I'll hopefully get myself on the third episode, and if I do, I'll talk about it next week when I do the show. But yeah, hopefully it should be pretty good, as long as he can find me an opponent, because it's sort of a quiz show, so it's me versus someone while Bill does the old, he's the quiz master. But yeah, very good show. Look it up, Partial Nerdity on Twitter, partial_nerdity. Very, very good. Got some new stuff, Destiny stuff, whole load of Destiny stuff. This is slightly old, but it's all relevant to what I'm talking about, hopefully. No, basically, this is from Eurogamer, and
Destiny ditches balance with PvP mode Iron Banner. Game goes offline this afternoon for hotfix. This was published a week ago. But yeah, so the this evening, Destiny will add a new competitive multiplayer mode that ditches game balance. Iron Banner, which opens up the weekend and runs until today. So if you listen to this on the 15th, you're fucked. But yeah, Iron Banner has a reputation levels for players to work through. At rank 1, you unlock an Iron Banner emblem with shaders, which each provide a stacking 10% boost to Iron Banner reputation gains. At rank 2, you get unlocked class items, which again provide a 10% boost to the Iron Banner reputation gains. And at rank 3, you unlock Iron Banner arm items, which includes the legendary weapons and armor, as well as new emblems and shaders. But yeah, the Iron Banner launches alongside a new hotfix that improves the technology that lets players connect to the game. This will be applied at around 3 p.m. this afternoon, which, as this is a week old, it's already happened. Bungie warned the maintenance window for the hotfix will interrupt Destiny's servers for several hours, so you won't be able to play. But now it's all happened, you will be. But yeah, I mean, I never got into the Iron Banner. I mean, it's over now, but it's like, I just didn't understand the whole point of it. It's one of those things like there's no level balance. It's literally if you've got the better gear, you can kick ass, which from stuff videos I've been seeing isn't actually true. But it's just one of those things. It's like, yeah, I'm okay playing how I'm meant to be playing, but I'm easy going when it comes to this sort of stuff. I'm enjoying playing how I'm supposed to play and earning the rank, earning the Crucible rank marks and ranking up and all sorts of stuff like that. But, you know, Iron Banner has come, it's gone by the time you listen to this. But let's have a look. I have a load of Destiny stuff. Just trying to think now. I've got that, which I've just read. I'm sort of trying to... here we go, yeah. This is a follow-up to what I was talking about, because I know I didn't get to talk about it last week because I sort of ran out of time. This is from GameSpot. Bungie explains why Destiny's Iron Banner event isn't working as you'd expect. Bungie's senior designer explains why you're not feeling, why you're not feeling as overpowered as you expect in your Iron Banner event. That was one of the things. It's like, I know I'm not going to feel overpowered as anyone else, but it's just, I don't know, but I'll read this article. Last week, Destiny opened its competitive multiplayer Iron Banner event. Normally, the game balances the gap between higher and lower level guardians, so they can play together. But the Iron Banner should have been different by taking players' levels into account. As GameSpot's Eric Tay told us last week, that didn't seem to be the case. He says, "I'm level 29 now, and even when players playing against a level 24 player, I couldn't really tell the difference." Exactly, I guess. One second, my sweets are just rolling all over the place. None of them said they could. But yes, in Bungie's latest weekly update, senior designer Derek Carroll explains why. He says, "The way we pitched Iron Banner did make it sound like a no-holds-barred playlist," he said. "In reality, we delivered what we felt would be a competitive experience for anyone, not just players at a level cap." He says, "The reaction from players seems to be, no, we want it to be for lower level. Would it be bad for lower level players? That's the point." He says, "We're listening to the feedback, but this Iron Banner is fairly conservative. He says, Carol further explained that time to kill is the same when you're using higher level gear against lower level guardians, but that the opponent is not true, so any enemy with lesser weapons will have a harder time killing you. To keep competition close and avoid unwinnable fights, the largest advantage you can have is around 7 levels. So if you attacked a target 20 levels above you, you'd have a fair shot at winning the fight." Finally, Bungie said it's listening to player feedback, and the next event, Iron Banner event, is very likely to have different rules. So basically be what people wanted it to be. But I mean, I was just saying, I'm not that fussed. I mean, there's no doubt time when I get to the next Iron Banner event, wherever the hell that would be in about 2 months' time, I might be at level 30 already. I might not, I don't know. But it depends on your gear as well as your armor and how you set up your characters. I mean, there's so many different factors that you can put into how your character plays, as I said, with the armor, If you're using exotic armor or legendary or rare or uncommon or just the normal shit, whether the weapon that you've got, you know, because your guns have different stats, and how you can set up your character in the inventory bit, it all depends on how you want to play it. But yeah, I've got one more bit of Destiny stuff to talk about. It's basically the recent patch that we've got. Just let me double check. Oh, here we go. No, I'll do this bit first, then I'll talk about this. Destiny. Oh, some IGN, so stop the video. there we go. Fucking things are annoying. Yeah, Destiny averages 3.2 million players per day. Developer Bungie revealed on the 1 month anniversary of the game's launch that it's basically 3.2 million people play a day. According to a new post on Bungie.net, the average Destiny player plays 1.8 times a day, an average play time clock in around 3 hours per day, even on the weekdays. Yeah, because if I wasn't doing the show now, and the fact that I've unlocked, the Crucible ranks, Crucible marks have been reset, I can start earning again. I'd be playing that right now, earning as many as I can with a whole load of new bounties, trying to get my rank up to rank 2. But, you know, there it goes. Since over the past 3 weeks, we've had more players online in Destiny than we did during the same span for Halo 3 and Halo Reach combined. That's because Destiny is much better than Halo. The blog post reads, since Bungie revealed late last month a total of 100 million hours of play since its launch, with the average gameplay session lasting 3 to 4 hours on weekends. Developer also noted that 137 million activities were completed in the game and 1 billion players have also been slaughtered in the Crucible. I think I've killed about 9,000 people, I think. Was that 9,000 warlocks? I don't know. Literally, I mean, it's nice when the thingies pop up and it says how many you've killed. It's quite fun. Bungie is currently seeking feedback from Destiny players about the week-long Crucible event Iron Banner that is underway until the 14th, which is today, for the next 2 hours, pretty much. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad so many people are playing, but I do worry that the fact that, you know, we do have this, which is nice, like the big love for the game, but what do we do when we get to... I mean, it's weird now because literally I talked about this on the show that never aired. But yeah, it's like the future of Destiny. It's like, well, what are we going to do? We wait till the expansion comes out and that sort of stuff. This is from Eurogamer. I got this more Destiny stuff. Bungie nerfs Destiny's auto rifles, Vex Mythocast, and the Rocket Yard. But it buffs up the scout rifles and tackles Volta Glass sniper platforms, which I haven't tried Volta Glass yet. I want to. I mean, me and Royce, we tried to do, because I messaged Royce and said, let's do a weekly strike, the hard fucking things. Bloody hell, that was hard. It was literally, I was getting one shot kill by all these bastards. It was annoying as hell. It really was. It's fun because it's literally just wave after wave of really hard enemies with one shot kill. It was like me, Royce, and some other person. And we were sort of camped up on the hills of some... Basically, I can't remember which strike it was, but it was like the spaceship to the right-hand side, and there was like... the ghost had to go and open a door, and then basically it was like wave after wave of enemies. And yeah, it was like... We all just sort of stood on this hill sniping at all these enemies. It was just really, really hard. And we beat that bit. We got further, and then we just got one hit killed, and it was like, yeah, now fuck this, because we wiped it like a couple of times already. It was annoying as hell. Here we go. Yeah, Bungie will today issue a hotfix, 2.2, for the online first-person shooter Destiny that tweaks weapon balance. The headline changes include lowering auto rifle effectiveness and increasing scout rifle damage output. Auto rifles have been considered the go-to weapon for many players, particularly for use in competitive multiplayer portion of the game. No, fuck off. I've been killed by so many damn shotguns, it's unbelievable. I'm literally one hit killed by shotguns. It's a bastard, it really is. Because of their high rate of fire and, as a result, higher damage per second. Which is a pain in the ass since I've just bought the Vanquisher 8, and that's actually quite nice, really. As soon as I upgrade the damage on it, it'd be lovely. But yeah, this brings up some talk about multiplayer and single player, which I'll talk about in a sec. The hotfix reduces auto rifle damage by 2%, reducing the precision damage multiplier from 1.50 to 1.25, and decreases stability by 4% to 15%, depending on the stat value. The nerf to auto rifles comes alongside the buff to scout rifle, which is an attempt to, on Bungie's part, to encourage more players to try the underused primary weapon class. Well, it's not that. I have no problem with the burst rifles. I just don't want to keep clicking. I'd rather just point and shoot, pretty much. It's all about your preference, really, as a player. I mean, less people are using the scout rifles because we'd rather use the auto rifles. It's very simple. But, I mean, yeah, buffing the scout rifles should make more people use them. But we'll see how it goes, to be honest. See, scout rifles see damage increased by 6%. Damage versus combatants has been increased by 6% to 25%. Based on tier, and scout rifles have improved target acquisition as well as additional recoil tuning. In short, they should be more and more effective. Shotguns have also been tweaked. Nice. Base damage at maximum range has been decreased by 20%, which is sure to go down well with those who feel... basically what I just said. Who feel they are overpowered in Crucible. Yeah, because I'm tired of getting one hit healed. I mean, the golden gun, whatever bullshit that the I think it's the Warlocks... no, the Hunters have... That I don't mind. It's a pain in the ass, but you know, whatever. It's literally, I mean, I have my super way through the Fist of Havoc and Storm, whatever the bullshit that's called. You know, it's a one-hit kill. I'm not fussed. You know. I mean, the Blade Dancer's a pain in the ass. That's really annoying, but it's fun to watch. Meanwhile, Bungie has nerfed the Vex Mythocast, the weapon many consider to be the most overpowered weapon in the game. Yes, I could agree, because I watched a video of that, and it was destroying people like you wouldn't believe. They wrote about this in last month. Said the exotic is unusual in that it is a high damage fusion rifle that acts like a primary weapon. Its base damage has been decreased by a whopping 34%, which is a lot, and it also increased the precision damage multiplier to compensate. It will be interesting to see if players stick with the VM following the hotfix. On exotics, the popular Pocket Infinity has been tweaked so that the enhanced battery perk has been replaced with the speed reload perk. Moving on to Vault of Glass, Destiny's high-level raid encounter. Bungie has added kill volume to sniper platforms, which players have camped on during the Templar encounter. This enabled them to destroy enemies from a safe position, no more it seems. And finally, Bungie has nerfed the Rocket Yard, so it's no longer viable for mindless loot farming. Players have been using a room to in the Rocket Yard area of the old Russia Earth as an alternative to the nerfed magic loot farming cave. It's nice that you want to do this. The loot farming. But I listened to various other Destiny podcasts, and it's just so much easier. Just go and do a strike. I mean, I found some really good... I mean, I found a purple on strike. I mean, it would turn into a rare item. But yeah, I just... So much good gear can be found in... I mean, just... As well, if you're doing stuff like this, you might as well go and play the Crucible and earn Crucible ranks. They're the easiest way to get marks these days. Just play that, do the bounties. There's so much other ways than just loot farming where you're stuck at something for like 2 or 3 hours... Whereas you could do a strike in about 20 minutes and, you know, get loads of rare items and, you know, there's so much other ways to just, you know, spend your time with this. But let's see what else we've got. I know I want to look up the thing on Resident Evil, because we've got the new Resident Evil movie coming out next year. I know I put it down as a topic, and I've got some Pokemon stuff to do as well. Okay, where is it? Did I even pick it up? I don't know. Just sort of looking here. I can't see it. Maybe I didn't. Yeah, but basically what goes on is that the fact that they're saying that after we're getting this final Resident Evil movie, they're going to do a new TV series, which we don't need, to be honest. It's a waste of time. It really is. I mean, the Resident Evil movies have been shit since 2. I mean, I like 2. But everything after that is terrible. But I mean, it's like, what, isn't it? What, 6, 7 now? I've lost track. But it's, you know, one too many. Yeah. You know. It's, well, it's four too many. But, you know, it's, you know, Resident Evil, whatever. But, yeah, let's talk about some Pokemon stuff because I love Pokemon, like many other people do. Yeah, this is from Eurogamer. Pokemon Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, even, let you fly freely around Hoenn. And I watched the trailer of this, and it's on the Facebook page as well, so, you know, give it a watch. Yeah, Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, I keep fucking it up, I really do. Let you take to the skies and freely fly around a Pokemon game's map for the first time. And it looks really good as well. Very, not the good graphics, but it's very, reminds me of Grand Theft Auto, you know, with 5. It's like, yeah, you can jump into a jet and then just fly across the map. It looks really, really good. But yeah, flying itself is nothing new. You've been able to quickly swoop from one location to another since the series origins, but this is the first time you actually be able to take off and explore the world from the air. Atop your Pokemon, you can perform loops and handbrake turns. The new feature will unlock new areas, including hidden islands and mysterious mirage spots, which contain rare items and Pokemon. You'll also be able to take part in aerial Pokemon battles, but you won't be able to climb any board any Pokemon. You'll need one of the game's two legendary critters, Mega Latios or Mega Latias, as well as their new Soar ability. Around the game's midway point, you'll find again a flute to summon one of them, one of the pair to ride along. To ride around on. Only one can be found within each game, although Nintendo will release a special Aeon ticket later this year, so you can gain access to the other, or you just buy the other game. I've watched the trailer. It looks really good. But, I mean, they're giving, like, the hidden ones, with the Mirage spots, we're getting, like, Reshiram, Zekrom, Ho-Oh, Lugia, just a whole bunch of legendary Pokemon that we aren't getting. I need to sort of sit down and have a little study and just go through, okay, if we're getting this Pokemon, that Pokemon, what are we getting next? I mean, there's so much stuff. I mean, I'm just sort of, like, looking at the legendary dogs. We've got, the legendary birds from, the remakes that, from X and Y. So Gen 7, are we going to get the legendary dogs back? Or, which Pokemon are we missing? Because, with the whole checkmark thing that should prove no hacking and all that sort of stuff. But there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. But let's go with... here we go. Battlefield, yeah. Battlefield 4. This is from CVG. Battlefield 4 issues hurt trust, producer says. Shift from CFO denying brand damage in March. A Battlefield hardline producer says that Battlefield 4's extended launch issues damaged the trust in the brand, despite earlier comments from the company. DICE LA producer David Serlin told GameSpot that the firm absolutely lost players' trust during the game's launch and its continued issues throughout the game of the early part of the year. Says, we're still probably having a lot of players who won't trust us to deliver a stable launch or stable game. He says, I don't want to say anything because I want to do it. I don't want to say anything because I want to do. What? What the fuck is he saying? He says, I want them to look at what we're doing and what we are going to do, and that would be my answer. Okay, I'm confusing the shit out of me. He says, I think we have to do things to get them to trust us and not say things to get them to trust us. Show by do. Basically, it's prove it. If you don't want your game to be shit, you need to work harder at it. And, I mean, just everyone's had the same problems when it comes to online games with this recent current generation. I mean, server problems, online issues, connectivity. It's just a whole bunch of stuff because people are... I mean, you go back to SimCity and the problems I had with that and Battlefield and something else that I'm completely skipping on my mind. I can't think what game it is, but they have some problems as well. But, yeah, he goes on... Sinnott said he's certain the problems won't be repeated in the future thanks to DICE's more open development model on Hardline. This echoes a statement from Visceral Games Ian Millen, who said that it's going to work thanks to ample testing and problem solves in Battlefield 4. It does contradict statements made in March by EA Chief Financial Officer Blake Jorgensen. Though the company has had a better part of a year to reflect on the issues since then, Oh, that's what it was. Drive Club. That's the one that's having server issues as well. I mean, just everyone's having server issues. This is we haven't seen any damage to the brand from these issues. Jurgensen has said at the time. Clearly, we're very focused on protecting that brand. But yeah, I understand that. I mean, I didn't like Battlefield 3. People love Battlefield 4, no matter of what the problems were. But hopefully, Hardline's going to be good because. Trust, that's the one I want to get. I mean, I'm not interested in Call of Duty anymore, even though I wouldn't mind giving it a go if someone bought it and I could borrow it. But, I mean, Battlefield Hardline is something I'm looking forward to playing, to be honest. Let's have a look. What else have I got? Sorry, I'm just trying to go through some stuff so I get some decent... Here we go, yeah. Lindsay Lohan talk, because she's a cunt. Yeah, this is from Eurogamer. Lindsay Lohan steps up Rockstar legal battle over GTA 5 character. Basically, stepped up lawsuit against Grand Theft Auto 5 developer Rockstar over the use of a character allegedly to be based on her. Hollywood actress, that's a fucking tongue-in-cheek, shitty actress, originally began legal proceedings back in July when she claimed that GTA's fictional character, Lacey Jones, was an unequivocal... reference to her. Okay. Lohan claims that Rockstar copied her image, voice, and clothing style for the character, something which developer Rockstar laughed off as a bid for attention, because she's an attention-whoring cunt. Her claim is so legally meritless that it lacks any good faith basis, and that can only have been filed by purposes, because she hasn't made a movie in years, and any of the movies that she has made are shit. The developer has asked for the case to be dismissed, and as for Lohan to pay its legal fees, because she has no money. But Lohan's lawyers this week submitted new documentation to further the case. The actress lawsuit has now bolstered a 45-page dossier of GTA 5 advertising and promotional images featuring Lacey Jones' character, plastered across billboards and buses, T-shirts, posters, coffee mugs. In particular, a 2007 shot of Lohan in a bikini with the actress alleges was the inspiration for an image an image featured on the game's disc, which was also heavily used in the game's promotion. God, she's such a cunt. Who the fuck was Lacey Jones? I'm looking this up now, because literally, I don't know who... Hang on, shit, if I could Google properly, that would help me. Lacey Jones. See, I'm doing stuff on the fly here. GTA 5. Okay, which... who was she? What missions was she involved in? Oh, Escape Paparazzi. Okay. Was she the one getting fucked up the arse? It's just basically like I don't even remember this character. That's how basically unimportant this character is. I'm just sort of looking at it. It's like, okay, she's there, but it's like some sort of know nothing character. What a waste of time fucking Lindsay Lohan is. Someone just needs to sort of drop her in a bath of acid. Here we go. Geometry Wars 3. I am looking forward to this really, this is Eurogamer. Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions release date set for November. I can't wait. It's next month. Here we go. Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions, the first 3D game in the Twin Stick Shooter series, will be out on the 25th of November for PC and North American PlayStation Network, while the following day it will arrive on arrive in Europe on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, and Xbox 360. It will go for basically just under $15, which is about £9. The third outing, Charles, I haven't even seen any trailers for this yet either. But oh no, I have. Bullshit! No, I'm lying. I have seen trailers for this. That's why I'm so excited. I can't wait for this. I love Geometry Wars. I mean, first one hard as balls. Second one so much fun. Different modes as well as the main game. Just really, really fun. It's the new age Tetris. this third outing in the series is the first game to be published under Sierra's label since the company's resurrection in August by Activision. Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions is being developed by Lucid Games, a studio comprised of ex-Bizarre Creation staff who worked on the previous Geometry Wars titles. The series creator, Stephen Cakebread, oh, what a cool name. However, it's not involved in the upcoming iteration. Oh, that's a shame. But yeah, I'm interested. Ex-Bizarre Creations, can we get another... Oh, the hell was that car game that they made? It was actually really good. I loved it. It was really fun. My friend lent it to me. It was a really, really good game. But yeah, I mean, Geometry Wars 3, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Let's find some more stuff because I'm running out of time and I have so much stuff to talk about. Okay. Here we go. Square Enix. Talk about suing stuff with Lindsay Lohan. This is from CVG. Square Enix sues SNK following copyright investigation. SNK accuses the publisher of using its characters without permission. Yes, Square Enix has taken SNK Playmore to court in response to criminal proceedings being carried out. In August, SNK initiated criminal proceedings against Square Enix, stating that the company was using its characters without requesting permission. According to SNK, Square Enix has been using the likeness of characters from The King of Fighters and Samurai Showdown in its manga series High School Girl, which is set in the early 90s. Due to the manga's setting, the number of cut of the companies... It's a manga. I read manga all the time. Lots of the characters look alike. They really do. They look all very similar. Due to the manga settings, a number of other companies' products also feature in the series, including the Sega Game Gear, which was great, Nintendo Game Boy, but no complaints have been made regarding this. Okay. As a result of the complaint, a police investigation was carried out at Square Enix headquarters, which was prompted the company to take the matter to court to resolve the issue over issue once and for all through civil rather than criminal means. The defendant, SNK, brought a criminal complaint against the company Square Enix and its publication division personnel, claiming that the comic series High School Girl, published by the company, alleged infringement. Infringed the developer's copyright. The defendant's copyright. Square Enix explained in a statement on the website. As a result, the Osaka Prefecture Police Headquarters and the Sonizaki Police Station conducted a I can't speak. My mouth's still fucking sore from the burn. Searched the company's at the company's headquarters office in on August 5th this year, getting accused of the criminal complaint. The company has decided to bring the said lawsuit to seek a declaratory judgment that the company does not infringe the defendant's copyrights. The company will prove the point through civil procedures. The company has been cooperating fully with the police investigation since the domiciliary search and will continually maintain the cooperative stance with good faith. So basically, fuck, it's confusing the shit out of me. But yeah, basically, copyrights on characters. But it's manga, as I said, all manga characters look alike. It's not being racist in any way, it's fact. I mean, when I first started watching Dragon Ball, I was like, okay, that's that character, isn't it? That's that. No, because they all look alike. It's, you know, until you get to know the characters, then you can say, you know, it's not. Here we go. The cancelled Star Wars games that we got. That's too big an article. I don't have enough time to cover this. So this will probably be for next week. Here we go. Yeah, I was just saying about, you know, the Resident Evil stuff. But TV series. This is from Eurogamer. Missed to be reborn as a TV series and game tie-in. Literally, I was at work and I found a copy of Missed today. It was, you know, so golden, really. Classic point-and-click adventure Missed is set to return as a TV series and an upcoming tie-in game. Missed creators Rand and Robin Miller have signed a deal with Legendary Entertainment, this production company behind Inception, which was bullshit, and Godzilla. Okay, I didn't see it. I have no interest in it, whatever, to develop the show. It's unknown whether the series will launch on traditional TV or via digital platform. I'm going to guess a digital platform. Variety reported such as via Netflix or Amazon Prime, which is pretty much the only two ones that people have. What is known that the show will be accompanied by various transmedia efforts to extend the brand, such as a new game and separate tablet offering, all of which will tie into the ongoing series plot. I never played Myst. I was one of those ones I wish I'd played. But yeah, Myst was originally released back in 93 and told the tale of a mysterious island full of puzzles. You played as a character known as a stranger as he tried to unravel why he had been whisked to the island and who to trust. Yes, I know that. It's just I never got around to playing it. I think Myst is on the iTunes. It's on the iTunes store. The game's success, more than 6 million copies were sold, led to the launch of 4 direct sequels, along with various spin-off games, novels, and even a parody game called Pissed. That's quite funny. But yeah, I say, that sounds pretty cool, to be honest. I mean, I'll have to find it on iTunes if it's there. But yeah, I'll look up videos. You know, there's got to be some sort of videos on YouTube and stuff. Let's find some more stuff, because literally I am running out of time, but I do want to try and get in as much as possible. Okay, let's have a look. Oh, hang on. Where was I? Yes. Let's go through some of the company stuff. Yeah, do some Nintendo stuff. This is from Eurogamer. Nintendo announces announces month of Donkey Kong eShop deals. Following on from the era of Luigi, Nintendo has proclaimed a month full of Donkey Kong. October will see the re-release of two classic Donkey Kong series, two classic Donkey Kong series, the SNES Donkey Kong Country Trilogy for the Wii U. You lucky bastards are on a Wii U, because that game was awesome. And the Game Boy Donkey Kong Land Trilogy for the 3DS Virtual Console, which I will look at. I might pick it up. I mean, I had a Donkey Kong game, but it was just, just enjoy it. The original Donkey Kong Country will be available for download this Thursday, priced at £5.49 on the Wii U, along with the Game Boy Adventure, which will be priced at £3.59. Donkey Kong Land 2 and Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy Kong's Quest, will flow next week on October 23rd. After that, Donkey Kong Land 3 and Donkey Kong Country 3, Dixie Kong's Double Trouble, will arrive on the 30th of October, just before Halloween. But buy any of the above Wii U titles and you'll get a discounted price for Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which will be £26.74 instead of £39.99. Why anyone would buy that, pay a Wii U title that much, is anyone's guess. Buy any of the above 3DS titles and you'll unlock a discount for Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, which I had and didn't like, for £23.49, down from £34.99. Both discounts Both discounts will last until 6th of November. Okie dokie. So that's cool if you're a Donkey Kong fan. You know, go and do it. I mean, I know lots of people are. I mean, I like Donkey Kong. You know, it's good. I prefer the SNES version, to be honest. I mean, I remember I was, my local, at one of the theme parks over in England, and I was like 20 minutes just playing Donkey Kong on the SNES back in, early 90s? Yeah, it must have been. When I was a little lad of about, 5'9". Let's have a look what else we got. Here we go, yeah. Let's see if this is, make sure this is something I didn't talk about last week. This is new stuff. This is from CVG. New Uncharted 4 reveal due very soon. Naughty Dog's co-president teases upcoming showing of the PlayStation 4 game. Naughty Dog set to provide eager gamers with a fresh look at Uncharted 4: A Thief's End later this year. I'm so excited for this game. Asked how the project is progressing, studio co-president Evan Wells told Game Crate, "It's coming along nicely. We've been hard at work since E3, and all I can say is that we'll be having some stuff to show very soon." Uncharted 4 was announced for a release in 2015 during Sony's E3 press conference in June. The PlayStation 4 stars an older Nathan Drake, who has been out of the fortune-hunting game for several years. Forced back into the world of thieves, he sets out on a global globe-trotting adventure in pursuit of a historical conspiracy behind a fabled pirate treasure. Probably One-Eyed Willy. Low quality images have yet to be released. Yes, Uncharted 4 concept art service online in early October, showing off a number of environments, including sunken ruins and stormy beaches. The artwork reportedly features in the art of Naughty Dog, a book released next week to coincide with the studio's 30th birthday. In late September, Uncharted 4 lead game designer Kurt Marginal tweeted to a new image of Drake's a new image of Drake from A Thief's End, showing a close-up incredibly weathered fictional fictional adventure. Yeah, I didn't say, but we're going to see this stuff soon. I reckon it's going to be at the Spike Video Game Awards, whatever that bullshit thing is, when they show us all those trailers. And I can't wait. I want to see more. I want, you know, I want this to come out next year. I don't want it to be delayed. I want it to be perfect and ready. You know, I just want to play some more, you know, Nathan Drake. But I don't know. It's weird. I'm just sort of thinking about all these, you know, all these titles that we are getting that are, you know, exclusive games that we're getting. You know, say with Gears of War on Microsoft, with Xbox, and you have Uncharted with PlayStation and Crash Bandicoot. Well, I don't know, Crash Bandicoot used to be. But, you know, all that sort of stuff. And now we're not getting, I don't know, much of anything, really. But, yeah, it's probably something for another time. But, yeah, I'm more Uncharted. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want some Uncharted because it's awesome. Let's have a look. Here we go, yeah. Gran Turismo 7 is some CVG as well. Set for 2015 or 2016, Yamauchi says. PlayStation 4 hardware will make an incredible difference. Series creator Kazunori Yamauchi has said that Gran Turismo 7 will release in 2015 or 16. I'm going to say 16 because you know, if he had a hard fact, if he had, you know, hard proof and happy with how it would be, he wouldn't make two dates. So basically, they're going to want it to come out in 2015, but it will probably come out in 2016. Even the fact that we're not even finished with 2014 yet. Yamauchi told Gamers TM that PlayStation 3 was much, much more difficult to develop for than PlayStation 4, which I don't get. In the beginning, yes, but I mean, as people came to use it, I don't know. But the high quality of data that we have been rendering on the PlayStation 4, I think is going to make an incredible difference. For GT7, myself and my staff have a clear vision to be to do everything we can couldn't do in GT6. We want to make it very Gran Turismo, but that's by that I mean we're going to it's going to be a game that matches the very era that we live in 2015 or 16. The new window extends previous projections from Yamauchi, who said in September 2013 that the PlayStation 4 racer would arrive in about a year or two. Gran Turismo fans know how to take precision prospective release dates with a grain of salt, as the series has been has seen some lengthy delays over its 17-year history. Wow, 17 years. That's how long I've been playing Gran Turismo. Yamauchi noted in 2014 that the studio had no plans to release a prologue version of GT7 as it did for GT4 and 5. He also said that the game will retain its library of less detailed standard car models, though some may be more detailed in its into premium cars, which is good, I guess, but I'm not too fussed. I mean, I like Gran Turismo. I do. I really do. I mean, I never bought anything past 4, because it was just too tricky. And the cars, the way the cars handle. I mean, I bought Prologue for my PlayStation 3. And yeah, I played that for like 5 seconds. It was like, you know, just trying to get the car to turn, it wouldn't turn. Trying to follow the brake line and the driving line, all that sort of stuff. Just, it was really annoying and a waste of my damn time. It really was. What else we got? Let's have a look, because literally I've got probably one or two stories and then I have to go because my time is about to run out. Okay. Done that. Maybe that. Yeah, we'll go with that. Yes, this is from CVG. Amazon lists Grand Theft Auto 5 PlayStation 4 bundle, PlayStation 4 hardware bundles for Europe. Launching alongside the game on November 18th, Sony looks set to launch a Grand Theft Auto 5 PlayStation 4 bundle in Europe next month. German, Italian, and Spanish product listing spotted by NeoGAF state that the hardware package, hardware pack will launch alongside the game in mid-November. While the GTA 5 release date is November 18th on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, the PC version has been delayed to January 27th in 2015. You have a long wait. Hopefully in 2017 we're up to GTA 6. In addition to increased draw distance, high resolution, the new gen versions of the game will include denser traffic, a new foliage system, enhanced damage, weather effects, and more radio stations with over 100 additional songs and DJ mixes. I'm looking forward to this. I really am. Grand Theft Auto Online will support an increased player count with online play from up to from 30 players on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 players will also be able to transfer their GTA Online characters and progression to their choice. Hang on, what's this say? Yeah, PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 players will be able to transfer their GTA Online characters progression to their choice of the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, or PC versions of the game. So does that mean I can transfer? I'd love it if I can transfer my PlayStation 4, my Xbox 360 version to my PlayStation 4. It's never going to happen, but that would be great if it could, you know, because I have the best mansion in the game, apartment in the game, 10 storage garage, and a whole shitload of money that I'd never done anything with. But yes, yeah, so also according to this leak, we'll have like a 50 gigabyte download install for it as well. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Thank you all for listening. But yeah, don't forget, if you want to contact the show anytime, you can Skype us. It's Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word. Also, you can email the show. It's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Join the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, you can like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/AntisocialGamerRadio. And also follow us on Twitter, @MLRGamerRadio. Don't forget, hopefully this weekend, I'll be on my friend Bill's podcast, Partial Nerdity. And that's @partial_nerdity. Give them a follow. And he'll follow you back. He follows everyone. But yeah, I'm sort of looking forward to playing some Destiny now. I've got other bits and pieces. I'm making my way through Metroid 2033, which I'm looking forward to finishing. And seeing how that changes from how the game worked out. Because, I've still got to pick up the next couple of books in the series. So much stuff going on at the moment with games coming out. That sort of stuff. But so, yeah, keep listening. If you're listening live in the chats, coming up next is Alcohol by Volume, followed by My Time Now. Then it's Dutch and Royce finishing out the night. Go on morelikeradio.com. Get yourself in, if you want to contact any of the shows, any of the details, anything like that. Just get in touch with all the hosts. We're more than happy to help you out, give you any details. You want to email us, suggestions for shows you put support on the station, anything really, get in touch. We'll talk to anyone, pretty much. I've done my show. I'm tired. I'm ready to go to bed. And I will see you all again next week. Take care, people. Bye-bye.
Ashley brought anything to the table?
My God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.